ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo.
Chris Aceto.
RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by Chris, the technician, Aceto. It's September 10th, 2012, and I am designating today the official birth date of Asher Singerman, Aaron Singerman's new son.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Born today.
I didn't know he was.
Yes, he is.
Wow. So what's happening with Aaron? Is he like, I mean... He probably doesn't know what to do, what to expect, how to act.
Well,
right?
He's been up all night, so it was a long birthing process, I guess, and he's tired. But I think we're going to get him calling for about 20 minutes and a little later because he's got to give me the whole update. You know, but he's dying to talk about it. You know, the whole.
Oh, I'm sure. Escapade. That's very, very, very exciting.
Well, I'm
really.
Also designating him MVP of the week, and despite how hard I might have worked, or Sally might have worked, or you might have worked, Aaron drove to Sarasota, covered the show, edited video. Sprinted back in time Saturday night so that he could be there for his wife when she went into labor the following morning, and all is well in the Singerman household. I actually was trying to come up with we were in the Helsinki airport, Sally and I, waiting to fly back from Finland because we were in Finland this weekend covering that Nordic Pro. And we were reading the boards, and Aaron was putting updates. You know, she's getting contractions now, 5 minutes apart, 4 minutes apart, 3 minutes apart. And he was like having a poll who would guess the right time of the birth. I had guessed, I think, 6:37. I think she actually wound up giving birth 7:30. I don't know if I was the closest. But I was trying to think of a nickname for his son, and I was looking up at the sign. I said, Sally, take a picture of that sign. It was a huge sign that said Helsinki. And I said, we can call him... Asher Helsinki Singerman. And then I said, well, that doesn't really, you know, go so well. So I said, how about just Sinky? And then I said, what about Slinky? So I am designating Aaron's nickname, the son nickname for his son, of Asher Slinky Singerman. It sounds like
RX members, where can they send all the little gifts and baby presents and baby clothes?
He'll tell us when he comes on later. But
Aaron, since you'll listen to the show, post it up, and I'll be the first one to I don't know what. But
we'll send
donate baby clothes, baby something.
Don't you think that's a good nickname? Slinky Singerman. It's an old Slinky, Jewish mobster, yeah. Doesn't it?
It does.
You got Bugsy Siegel and you got Slinky Singerman. Meyer Lansky, Bugsy Siegel, and Slinky Singerman, right?
We got to predict what's the first show Aaron's going to be toting around Slinky.
Slinky, yeah, I don't know. Probably
like 18 months.
Maybe the Masters Olympia in Miami Beach.
I thought you were going to say the Shiru.
No, I don't think he can bring the kid to Shiro. That's a little too soon. But he could definitely drive him down to the Masters Olympia, you know.
Oh, he's got to be excited. I'm gonna text him. Congratulations, Aaron. Slinky
Singerman. I think it's a great nickname for him, and couldn't have happened to a nicer couple. Congratulations to the mom too, to Darielle Singerman, who did all the work. Aaron just was there,
That's right.
Cheering her on, but she did all the work, and it was couldn't have happened to a nicer couple. So they had a good year this year. They got married. They have a baby, and Aaron is going to India, hopefully. So.
Yeah, he'll go. No matter he'll be there.
I knew he would never miss a show. If you noticed it, he timed the baby's birth perfectly. So on and off, you know, just right after he finished doing the Sarasota show, and he's got 3 weeks off before the Olympia, so he can spend 3 weeks with his baby, and then he got the Olympia, and he's got the Shiro Classic, and he doesn't have to miss anywhere. So that was great. Worked out for all of us, right?
Yeah.
Before we get to talking about shows, though, Chris. I have an interesting story to tell you, kind of, in a sense. I went into Staples the other day because I have my smart training class. Obviously, you know, you've taught the class, and I do it online as well. And I send out certificates to the people who pass the test, and I had to go buy new certificates. And for some reason, these certificates always seem to last me about a year. I buy enough of them. And every time I go into Staples... I hardly ever go in there. Every time I go into Staples, it's always the day that school started. And there's 4 million kids running around Staples trying to get notebooks and loose leafs and calculators and pencils and, you know, whatever else these teachers require nowadays. And then the line is like, I have like two things to buy, and these kids have 400 items in each cart, you know, and I have to wait like on this huge line, and invariably I'll go up to someone and ask them, you mind if I, you know, cut ahead, I have two items. No, we're waiting for an hour, you know.
And
every single time, this is 3 years in a row it's happened. I don't time it or anything like that. I don't even think about it. I'm like, oh, I need certificates. I go into Staples and all of a sudden I see this mob scene of kids in there, and I remember when I was a kid going school shopping. Peaceful fucking thing to do, because you get out of school, you're all excited. You got these, each teacher's got like their own requirements. Like the math teacher wants a loose leaf, and he wants a notebook that doesn't have rings in it. And then the science teacher wants a protractor. I mean, the math teacher wants a protractor, and this one wants a three-leaf binder and a folder, and the physiology guy wants a dissection kit, whatever the hell they want. But then you got to go into the store and you got to fight all the other kids to try to get the fucking colored notebooks you want and the pencils you want and the pen you like, you know, is never there because some kid took it before you. And I always
hated
that.
You can do it all online now. I got a right here. I got a little Staples coupon. You save $25 for every $75 order online.
That's great. How long does it take to get there?
Takes like 4 to 6 days. Yeah, max, but then
doesn't your kid need it the next day, the stuff?
Why not? I mean, I guess if you're prepared enough, you know, in advance. Well, yeah, you got a point. You got a point.
They got you by the cojones, these teachers.
Yeah, they get you by the slinkies.
By the slinkies. I would think by now that you wouldn't have to use any notebooks or pencils. I would think kids would just bring a computer laptop in by now and just type right into the computer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know. I haven't been in school. The only school I went to was the real estate school, and I fell asleep through every single lecture last week.
True. So you don't even know what went on, basically.
Well, I got a text from Aaron Singerman.
You did.
Aaron, congratulations. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah,
he's the fastest texter on earth.
Yeah, he was on top of things. I got to hand it to him. He could not have slept more than a couple hours in the last two nights, and he's supposed to be calling in at about 45 minutes after we finish our segment. And you know, it's funny because I thought it was Sunday because we always do the show on Sunday, but it's actually Monday. The show should be up already, but we'll be up by tomorrow morning probably. I'll get Jeff to put this up. But we had a busy weekend. You know, this is the first time I had left the country in a very long time. I don't even remember the last time I left. Probably I went to Mexico, I think, right before I went to jail, probably in 2005 for a little while, or 2004. I haven't gone anywhere, basically. And I was a little nervous at first because I didn't know if, like, you know, my passport would be flat. I'm thinking Victor Martinez. You know, I come back into the country, they're going to throw me in jail. I came back into the country, and I got sent to agriculture. You know what agriculture is?
What, would you bring some type of food bag? Were you bringing kale in or something, and salmon?
I had my food bag with which I ate most of the food. They had given us this sandwich on the plane that I had given to Sally, because I don't eat the plane food. And she must have thrown it in my bag, and I didn't know it was in there. And when I went through customs, they looked in there, and they said, you got anything in there, any agriculture? I'm like, no. And they look at the thing, and they're like, what's that? I'm like, I don't know. It's a sandwich they gave us on the plane. They're like, well, you can't bring that in. You're going to have to go to agriculture. Now, I'm like, God damn it. So I had to go get my bags first, and they fucked up my new Oglio bag. They must have beat the hell out of it. You ever see that commercial from Samsonite where the guys in the back with the sledgehammers and they're trying to slam and break open the Samsonite
luggage? That's what they did to your Oglio bag?
They did it to my Oglio bag. It was completely trashed. So I had to go to like the baggage claim, though, the baggage services. So first I had to go to agriculture. So I went to agriculture. I was all aggravated. I didn't even realize, first of all, you know, they can select you to be have your bag searched, which nowadays they don't really search it. They put it through an X-ray machine. But they're like, what are you doing over here? I'm like, well, I don't know. I've been smuggling some food in, I guess. I don't know. They're like, what do you got? I said, well, I don't know. I got this sandwich, and so I gave it to them. It was in a wrapper, and they're like, well, what is it? I'm like, I don't know. I said, if I would have known, I would have eaten it. I said, I really can't identify it. They're like, I don't know what we should write this down as. I said, well, just take it, I guess. I don't know. What do you want me to do with it? So they confiscated the agriculture, and they sent me on my way. I didn't have to go through a secondary checkpoint. Then I went to baggage services, and I complained about my bag, which they agreed that it was pretty beaten up.
Did they compensate you?
Well, they say that they sent me this claim form that I have to go get it fixed. I'm like, I didn't know they could fix suitcases. You know, it's not even a suitcase; it's like a canvas bag. So I don't know how the hell they're going to fix this thing. And then I went and realized I forgot to turn my money in, you know, my euros into American money. Now the euro is worth, it's like a dollar, $1.28 for every dollar, American dollar. So the euro is more powerful. So I had euros because I had traded some stuff in Finland there. And I went and gave them the euros and they gave me my money back. And I said, well, what's the exchange rate? They said, well, this guy was showing me on the screen. It said 0.9118, which would be less than a dollar. I'm like, well, how could the exchange rate be 0.9118 when you gave me back more money than I gave you? In other words, I gave him like $420, and he gave me back $480 or $470. I said, the exchange rate's got to be more than 90 cents because I would have gotten less money back. And I had the guy confused. Sally was like basically rolling her eyes because she just wanted to get out of the airport. And she's like, did you get the right money? I said, yeah, but I don't understand this. I said, I want to know what the exchange rate was to see if I blew it by not exchanging the money in Finland. I thought the exchange rate was 128 there. I thought I'd get a better deal in the U.S. And I said, there's no way this is 90 cents on the dollar. I said, because you'd be giving me back less money than I get. And I argued with the guy, and he didn't understand it. And finally, I just got frustrated and left. But these people who work at the banks in the airport can't even do math. They don't even understand that 90% of something is less than one, you know.
Yeah, they did the opposite, maybe 1.1, who knows, 10%, they did 10% more.
I got back the right money, but I took a loss. I should have traded it in Helsinki. The moral of the story is, and I always like to give you guys lessons. I know there's a lot of people listening here and like our little lessons in life we give the people. If you're going to trade money in, okay, trade it in Europe. If you're going to give you euros back, you do it in Europe because it's got a higher value there. In the U.S., you get raped, basically. So I got my agriculture taken from me. They beat up my bag, and they stole my money, basically. But all in all, the trip was great. I must admit, I had a very, very good time in Finland, and I didn't know what to expect when I went there, and I loved it. And you know what? People said, oh, are you glad to be back? I said, you know what? I could have just stayed there another 2 weeks, probably.
The hotel
was all right. You know, it was beautiful downstairs. The rooms were a little small, but that's a European thing, you know. The beds were comfortable. Exactly. They were small, but they were comfortable, you know what I mean? And there's no air conditioning there because they don't. It's cold there. It's cool, you know. It doesn't really get super hot there. And I was fine. We had a good time. You know, it was just, like I said, everything's a little small there. I'm not used to it, but I was very comfortable. The people were really nice to me. KP Orama, who is the promoter there, could not have been nicer. He picked me up from the airport, which was 75 miles away. You know, he took care of me. He gave me carte blanche. You know, RX Muscle was the media partner with KP for the Nordic Pro. There was probably 2,000 people watching the show. It was a great experience. The expo was great. We got some good interviews. I'm still going to be putting, I have a lot more stuff still to put up. I had on Sunday, I went to Helsinki. See, because the show is held in, it was held in Lahti, Finland, which is kind of like a suburb, so it's kind of quiet there. They have the big thing there is ski jumping. I'm sure you probably saw the ski jumping video I put up. And all these videos, obviously, are on the RX Muscle website. And, you know, there really wasn't that much to do there. So on Sunday, a couple of fans from the show, Charles Williams III and his beautiful girlfriend, picked us up. And they took us back to Helsinki, which was, they had to drive 75 miles each way. And we spent the whole day in Helsinki on Sunday. We did traditional shots. We were drinking, you know, with the Helsinki. That's a, you know, the biggest pastime in Finland is drinking alcohol.
What is it? The cold winters that make you?
They just like to drink. I think all the money that they make off the drinking goes to the poor, and so they can rationalize drinking.
It's like a charitable event.
That's right. So we went there. We walked around. We saw all the sights there. You know, they have cruises right out of Finland. There's like a waterfront there, and you can go to Sweden for like $100, you know, on a cruise, and it's supposed to be awesome. So if I go back next year, I think I'm going to try to stay an extra day or two and go on a little Swedish cruise or something like that over to Sweden. It's probably like a 1 day or something like that, or 2 days.
And who's the most famous Finnish bodybuilder of all time?
Probably Marco Savolainen. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. He was a freak.
Yeah, he had 24-inch arms, legitimately. I think Joe Weider measured him. And he I actually met him there. I did an interview with him. It's up on the site. And he's making a comeback now. And I don't know if he's, you know, how successful he will be. He's not that, you know, young anymore, but he's probably the most famous IFBB pro from Finland. Steve Wennerstrom would tell you the women's, on the women's side, I think Loma was Finnish.
Kiki Loma, yeah.
She
dethroned Rachel McLish.
1981 Miss Olympia. There's a couple other ones. I can't even remember who he told me. There was a couple. Was it Mario?
Gunnar Rosbo, right? Gunnar Rosbo?
Is she?
Do you remember him?
No. Was he a Finnish bodybuilder?
I think, yeah, he was Finnish. He was second in the universe to Haney, and second after Haney won it. Like, two great Americans beat him. Haney and maybe Mendenhall beat him at the World Games, or Haney and... I know Haney beat him.
Yeah.
Because he was a big favorite.
Didn't even know that. But I know, yeah, I do know that Kiki Aloma was definitely a Finnish, probably the most famous Finnish since she was Miss Olympia, right?
Sure. Yeah. Bollywood. Yeah, she beat Rachel. I remember looking in the magazines and she wore like
pass away?
Hair flowers around her head.
Did she pass away, I think, recently?
Did she? She may have. I don't know. We better not say that
We have to start doing that segment, Dead or Alive, on the show, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Al Beckles, yeah. Dead or Alive?
Alive.
Alive is right. Alive and well. He looks really good still for his age. I'll give you one more. Let's see if you can guess this one. Ray Stern, dead or alive?
Dead.
Yeah, he died, unfortunately. Ray Stern, the wrestler.
Ray Mentzer, dead.
Ray Mentzer's dead, too, yeah. And Mike Mentzer. But Joe Weider, dead or alive?
Quasi alive.
Yeah, he's alive. He's still alive and kicking. Joe's a fighter. You gotta admit, because people wrote him off like 10 years ago, and he's
years ago.
It's just a testament to, you know, what weight training did for him. Obviously, it gave him some good fortitude. You know, but
he was ahead of his time.
Yeah, no, he was. But you know what? I mean, he has bad back problems. I think his problems more stem from the fact that he's in pain than he is. It's like my dad. I don't think his health is quite as chronic pain that he's in, probably.
Yeah.
And you know what happens when you're in chronic pain. You're on chronic painkillers, you know, so.
Yeah. You just, every day is a challenge on with chronic pain.
Yeah, it's not something you want to live with. I read a good book, actually.
God, you got a lot done. When do you have time to read a book?
You know, I don't
have
Aaron reads books all the time, but I got to tell you. I don't know how, I always say the same thing. I'm like, how do you have time, you know, to read all these books? I don't even know when he does it. But
he must be a speed reader.
I think he reads at night before bed. Book Dying to Be Me. It's by Anita Morjani. It's about her. She had cancer, and she had a near death experience. She died, and she came back. But in the book, she describes when she leaves her body that she senses that she's connected to the universe, and that she gets a choice whether she can go back and go back to living in a physical body, or she can go on, I guess, to wherever she's going to go to. And she chooses to go back, and it instantly heals her cancer. And she realizes that the disease process really was a disease process in the way she thought, in her emotional state, from suppressing her emotions and trying to do the right thing and not living from her soul. The cancer basically was. I guess manifested itself.
Enabled to proliferate.
And I mean, this is a documented case. I mean, it was like instant healing. The doctors could not believe. You know, 2 weeks later, they did a scan on her and they couldn't find any remnants of cancer in her. And they were like, "This is impossible." You know, they couldn't believe it. So I read it the whole trip on the way there and on the way back. I highly advise it if you have an open mind. And you really want to be I know people always ask me what kind of, you know, books suggestions. This is a great, great, great book. And Dr. Wayne Dyer, who is one of, you know, my favorites, he writes the introduction to it. And they actually have you'll actually find out when you read the book, they have their paths cross. And she helped out Dr. Wayne Dyer, too, because he had gotten some leukemia and he overcame that. But it's called Dying to Be Me by Anita Morjani. She's actually an Indian woman who's living, grew up in Hong Kong, and it's an interesting dynamic, and like I said, pretty much anyone could relate to it. It's a quick reading book, too, so it's not one of these things you can read it, you know, at night, you know, before bed, and it'll put you in a very peaceful mood. So I like to make recommendations, add that to my, I should have like an Oprah book club.
You should have the book club. You should recommend, how about one a month?
Okay, all right.
Farnsworth just recommended a book for me, and I forgot the title of it, but I ordered it on Amazon, and it's 2 weeks, and it's still not here.
Amazon is fast usually. Wow, it must be a backorder book.
But I was cheap. I bought it, you know, from one of those used dealers. Maybe just ripped me off.
Yeah, nah, they take a little longer when you buy it from the used people, but it'll come. Well, let's talk about Red first, which was the 2012 IFBB Valenti Gold Cup. The promoter, Patricia Valenti, who is in, I think she might be the oldest IFBB bikini pro, a good friend of mine, and she always helps us out at the Species booth every year, and she decided she was going to put on this show. She held six pro divisions, which is unheard of in this day and age. Men's 212, men's physique, women's physique, fitness, figure, and bikini. And she had a good turnout, it seems like. You know, there was some depth to these classes. Obviously, you had a stake in one of them, and you got you and I have been doing pretty good with the winners of these shows, but you had Eduardo Correa come down into the 212 class. He was supposed to be in Finland doing that show, which would have been interesting to see how he would have done there. I think he would have done well there. I don't think he would have beaten Rulli Winkler, but he definitely would have been done in top three there. But he comes down in weight into a class that you and I have discussed would be a perfect class for him. He wins this event, beating some good guys. Unfortunately, the showdown that we originally anticipated between Seth Ferrosi and him was not to be on this day because Seth was not did not bring his best. He had to settle for seventh place. Talk to me about Correa. Talk to me about how he felt in the 212 class, and how do you think he's going to do going into that Mr. Olympia contest come 3 weeks from today?
Well, you know, like I said, I mean, you knew. I think you were the only person I told that. You know, it was maybe just a few weeks out from Finland, or maybe three tops, two. He decided, okay, I'm going to switch and try to come down, which was a little panicky because, you know, it's always this damn weight issue. So he did make the weight, and he actually made it. You know, sometimes when your weight is coming down, you can't get it down, and then all of a sudden it, you know, collapses on you. And Absolutely. He made the weight. And interestingly, there they had the weigh-in at 9 in the morning, and the pre-judging started at like 3.
So he had no carbs, basically.
He had no carbs, no water, no nothing, like the last day and a half. You know, made the weight, was struggling, then made
it. How much over was he, Chris? I mean, how close was it that he had to suck down so severely?
He was like a solid, it won't move for whatever reason, 214, which is not far away.
No.
But you know, it's one of these things like, you know, sauna, treadmill, no carbs, no water. You know what happens sometimes? You get on the scale and you say, you're not going to believe this, but I'm 214.1.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You don't move.
And then...
So what was the most... What did you wind up doing? I mean, what worked? Just a combination of everything?
What worked is actually... He did actually cut his sodium for like the last day and a half.
Mm.
And that was a you are
known as the sodium cutter.
Sodium cutter, that's extraordinaire.
That's your nickname.
Yeah. SC, not to be confused with South Carolina.
That's right.
But so he made the weight, and you know, he waxed the show essentially. You know.
Yeah. Well, there was once Ferrosi didn't show up in shape. There really was no one else there. What happened to Brandon Ray, who had to settle for fourth place? I thought he would be another guy that would be giving Correa possibly a run for his money. I knew he would never be hard enough to beat Correa, but. He's just, this kid just has trouble nailing his conditioning, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, I think he's, who knows, maybe he saw his name on the list and he got panicky and thought he'd, you know, it's better to come in full. You know what I mean?
Do you think he's overcarbed? Was that the problem?
He looked overcarbed to me.
Mm-hmm.
Overcarbed / watery. You know, he's a great bodybuilder, but, you know, you're going against Eduardo, you better be, you know, at your absolute best, or you're not going to do anything. But, you know, he didn't even land in second or third, Brandon.
No, he was another disappointment between him. Now, what happened to Ferrosi, you think? I mean, is too many shows, doesn't have the right formula down, is doubting himself, what, or a combination of everything?
Well, the technical analysis for me is that he probably was, you know, he probably got bad advice by going into the open class.
Mm.
Because he's not an open style bodybuilder.
That's all.
As we saw in Toronto. And then, you know, his body's probably shot from there, meaning.
Yeah, do you really believe that, though, that you know, that he's shot? In order to get shot, you have to get in shape first, don't you? Don't you have to peak first?
Well, Who knows? What I do know is he's had to get in shape. He's had run in with the dangerous fish.
Well, he was always a Hani Rambod guy from right when he won the Nationals. Yeah. What, now he's not with him anymore. Is that what you're saying?
All that bro love went down the toilet after Tampa.
Oh, all right. So he wasn't happy with his conditioning. So I guess they stopped working together, and obviously he didn't fix the problem.
He probably doesn't know how to fix it. He probably don't know what he's doing in that.
Well,
he's a young guy.
What's happening experience. Is when he had to make the 198 class, for Nationals, he was in shape, obviously. Now he's probably trying to come in at 215 when he probably should be 208, you know what I mean? And that's, that's probably what's going on. I mean, what did he weigh when he won that Dallas Europa show 2 years ago? 212.
200 maybe?
Yeah.
198.
He's probably trying to come
less than 202.
He's trying to come in too big. He's trying to come in too big.
Less than 202. And according to him, he said that Hanny had him up to in the 250s trying to bring him down for the Toronto. I mean, if you're 202, if you win a show at 2, pick a 202 guy. Yeah. Just name anyone who's good.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. Jose Raymond.
I mean, are they going to go up to... Yeah, Jose Raymond can't go up to 250 and say, I'm coming down into an open show. It just looked like a, lousy version of Jose Raymond, right. and that's what happened in Toronto.
That's what's happening with Seth. Obviously, he's coming in too big.
Yeah, well, too big in Toronto and too big here.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully he'll regroup, and I'm sure next year he'll get it down properly. He's got to go back to the drawing board, to his roots, which is coming nasty, gnarly, hard. Talk to me about Raul Carrasco, some people thought maybe he didn't deserve second. I thought he had really good shape from the pictures. His conditioning was really good. I'd like to see him add a little more muscle. He's kind of a taller bodybuilder. What was your impression of him?
Well, unfortunately, you weren't there, but that's the exact assessment I had. I mean, when I did the play-by-play, I thought that was the best he's looked, and he's hard, and he is, broad with a nice V-taper and looks impressive on the front lat spread, front double, and some of the side shots, but... he still needs more muscle. It was his definite best, and the judges rewarded him for being at his best.
Good. I like to see that.
And then he's going, I know a lot of people were griping he didn't quite deserve second. That was, some of the scuttlebutt. But, if you're comparing him to, let's say, a Brandon Ray, it's just hard to reward Brandon as good as he is, knowing that... he's just soft compared to the guy who got second, right, to Paul.
No, absolutely. And talk up to me about Charles Dixon, who I didn't even know he was in the show, and he snags third place here. I've seen him a little harder, but it seems like a better version of him than we saw the last time out. Was he that good, or was he just better than everyone else that was here?
Well, he was that good plus better than everyone else. I mean, he was pretty freaky. He could have been harder, I guess, but... He's pretty freaky. He's got the big quads, especially from behind, and he's got a really cool back lat spread, and he had some thickness. I mean, when I went backstage just for a second, I saw him. I didn't really know who it was, and I said, wow, this guy.
Super nice guy, too. He's a super nice guy.
Oh, yeah. He was thrilled to be there. Super nice guy. He did a great interview with Aaron after the show. Yeah. I don't know if it's been posted yet.
I have to take a look.
But he was, happy to be there. And more important, he was happy to be in his best. Because it's nothing, there's nothing you can do as a bodybuilder in terms of the placings. I mean, somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose. Some shows are close. Some shows are controversial. Mm-hmm. And he was just, happy to be in the running and happy to... get the respect of his peers and people saying, wow, you look really good. And he did look really good. So
I agree with you. And I think that Dixon has good potential, and I think he can be even tighter than what I see, at least in the pictures. And if he does, he'll move up, obviously. Let's talk. Brandon Ray obviously finishes in fourth, and then Benjamin Parra in fifth. Talk to me about Parra. How was he impressive? What does he need to do to move up?
He just needs more thickness in his pecs. He was working with Don Long. He looked really good. He, he's pretty hard all over. He's got good balance.
Yeah.
If he can put on, 3-4 more pounds muscle in that class, I don't know what he weighed in at.
Was Brandon Ray working with Don Long, too?
No, Brandon was working with Noel Fuller.
Why does Why does Brandon?
It's hard
Ray,
to keep up with the gurus.
But why does Brandon Ray switch guys all the time? I thought Don Wright. He went back to Don Long because he said Don Long was the guy that got him pro, and that they had a great relationship, and that Don was like the father he doesn't have, and all this great stuff about Don, and then he leaves Don. I don't understand these guys.
Well, even sometimes I get in fights with my father. So, yeah.
But you know what? I'm glad. Obviously, you look at Benjamin Parent. I mean, the guy is shredded. I mean, Brandon should be looking at this guy and saying, "What the hell did I do leaving Don Long? Holy mackerel!"
Well, I'm sure Don probably, you know, I'm sure knowing Don that he doesn't want anything but the best for his son or former son, Brandon Ray.
It's like Billy Martin. How many times is he going to fire Don Long? Holy mackerel.
Yeah. So Don was there cheering his guy on, and it, you know, he could have placed higher. You know, he was good. He was definitely impressive. You know, if he continues to improve in the class, He's going to be good in the class.
Well, sixth place, Nathan Wansley. Seventh, obviously, we said Seth Ferrosi. Willie Vegas in eighth, and Petey Deavers ninth, and James Darling 10th. So it was a pretty good lineup, 10 guys. And the men's physique had more guys in that than in the 212 class. You had your 10 guys in men's physique. Sadiq Hadzovic from out here in New York. He wins his first pro show. With Michael Anderson in second and William Sullivan in third. And then in the women's physique division, Karina Nascimento.
Of course.
Brazilian bombshell returns to the stage. She won the first ever women's physique pro show. And she's back bigger and harder than she was the last time because that's what she heard they wanted. And she wins here. And she beats Frances Mendez and Nicole Hamrick. So this had to be a good win for her. She was very happy. I had predicted it prior to her doing it, actually. I even posted on her Facebook wall.
You did. It was a good night for the Brazilians. They almost, you know.
That's right.
Eduardo Correa
and Karina Nascimento. Yeah, and then Marion Capes wins the fitness title here with Kamala Rodriguez second and Holly Stewart third. In the figure, Aaron Stern, your former Ms. Figure Olympia champ, she wins here rather easily over Kamala Macko, who is the, I guess, the stepdaughter of Philip Michael Thomas of Miami Vice fame. And Alicia Hart is third. In the bikini, Yashira Robles wins that event. Lacey DeLuca in her pro debut is second. And Marcella Tribben from Colombia, the dentist from Colombia that I'm in love with, she is third.
Yeah, true.
And how does she look?
It's hard to see that she loses. I mean, she's...
Did you have her friend winning?
She just, you know, she's got an amazing everything.
She's hot. She's a hot girl. She's got three kids, too.
That's even more amazing. I mean, she's got a deformed looking waist, so small and so tapered.
That's crazy. Tiana Ta, fourth. Vita Guerra, fifth place. How did she look?
She looked good. She looked good. I think, you know, it fell off after top three, but
she could have been a little tighter from the pictures.
Top three were totally outstanding.
Yeah, it was a good show. There was a lot of good competition there. Anything exciting happened that weekend that I should know about that I wasn't there for?
There was nothing groundbreaking and exciting. What was memorable about the show is how well it was run, and that I coined it a boutique show, and Aaron picked up on that, and that the hotel was beautiful, mm-hmm. overlooking the water. It wasn't a big hotel, wasn't a small hotel, and all you needed to do is take the elevator down to the lower lobby, and that's walk maybe 40 feet, and that's where the competition was.
Right. What happened to our friend? What happened to our friend Lexi Kaufman? She was like 13th in the bikini pro division.
Oh yeah, that's right. Lexi was in it. I don't know.
She's so hot. I don't know, and I know she was listening to the show. So I looked at the pictures.
She's busy promoting the product that she endorses, I guess. Right.
Well, I was looking at the pictures and I thought she looked great, but you know who the hell knows? I don't. You probably don't even remember the competition, so I'll ask Aaron Singerman.
Aaron would know. He was paying attention.
Yeah, I think that she's one of the best looking girls in the whole bikini division, but. That's just my opinion. Oh, you know, I got to mention something. Talking about blonde hair, blue eyed girls. I don't know if that's Lexi's real hair color, but I will tell you one thing. In Finland, I never saw so many white haired, blue eyed women that were naturally that color in my entire life. I didn't realize that they actually exist, because you don't really see any real blondes here in the U.S. If you see one, you're lucky. You know, everywhere you go, there's these. I mean, the hair is so light blonde. It's so, you know, they are. And they're all the beautiful women there. It's unbelievable. It's kind of like there must be a lot of inbreeding there because I've never seen so many of them in one place. And I hear that Sweden's even, you know, there's even more of them in Sweden. Charles Williams, who is hanging out with us all day Sunday, he has a blonde hair, blue eyed girlfriend. She's 21. She's 20 years old, and she's 6 feet tall. I think she's all. I think she's taller than 6 feet. I think she's more like 6'1". And from what she tells me, Jose likes the tall women. I mean,
they like him. I don't know. They like him.
Oh, they do. Yeah, it's amazing, yeah, though.
I don't know what it is.
It's amazing. You got to see these women in person. It's crazy. It's like. It's like a scene out of like the Amazon women, you know, in the jungle, like in Wonder Woman, you know, TV show years ago. There's one better looking than the other one. It's incredible. But I had a good time.
You should have done a little video segment. Top five best looking blonde hair, blue eyes I met over the week.
I will do that next year. I didn't have time. I was actually working, you know, a lot, so I didn't want to give up too much. But I will say one thing: the Nordic Pro Show was a very popular show there, and I'll tell you why, Chris. There is really no pro shows. This is the only one, and there hasn't been one there for quite a number of years, over 10 years. So when KP Arama brought it back, it was like he brought the Olympia back there. And don't forget, the Olympia was there in 1992 when Dory Nates won for the first time in Finland.
And Trigno was in it.
Yeah, and ironically enough, Dorian was telling me the story. He was actually in the room, the hotel room next to me, you know, call it, you know, coincidence. The funny thing was he was dying to talk to me on the record, but he couldn't because he obviously has an exclusive contract with Blackman, who never uses him for anything anyway. But he was telling the story about how when he did the Olympia in Finland, I guess it was on an old, I don't know, were you there?
No, but I heard it was on a skating rink.
It was on an ice skating rink they put it over. Because, you know, I guess hockey's big there. And I guess it was slippery, and Lou Frigno fell like 20 feet and fucking smashed his hamstring up. And that's where Dorian won, he said. But it was a crazy crowd there, and he'll always remember that. And ironically enough, his wife, Dorian's got this new wife from Brazil, Gal Ferrara Yates. And she decided this was going to be her pro debut. Ironically enough, and so Dorian basically came home 10 years later, or it's, no, it's been 20 years, I think he said. Yeah, it's 20 years since he won the Olympia.
20 years, wow.
And his wife won. She won the figure pro, first time out. She actually beat the girl who is the local girl from Finland, Katie Allender, who I actually thought might have had a good shot of winning this thing. She was a little better conditioned, but Dorian's wife, Gal, had the typical Brazilian look, you know, with the big booty and small waist and the nice shoulders, and she dominates. I did a nice interview with a really nice lady, Dorian. It's always good to hear him talk bodybuilding. He was looking bigger than I've ever seen him too. I don't know if I said, Dorian, you staging a comeback? He's like, no. He's a businessman like I am now, but he definitely looks bigger than I've seen him before.
So. Well, he was talk about the ahead of his time. I said earlier, Joita was ahead of his time. Dorian was ahead in terms of just. Brutal mass.
Well, you know, Dorian was one of the few guys that I looked up to. You know, people always ask me who are your, you know, the people you idolize. And I'm not one of these guys that idolizes other people. I respect what they did, and I might want to emulate what they did. But Dorian was one of the guys that the work ethic was just, you know, I remember reading all the articles about him and all the Peter McGuff stuff he wrote and that book, Blood and Guts, they did. And I mean, it was just a guy that I respected the hell out of. So, you know, I really wanted to sit and do an in-depth interview with him. And it just, obviously, we couldn't do it. Blackman's, you know, shoveling cash into his pocket for doing nothing. No. So, you know, but I had a good time. We talked. I think we ate a meal together. I was sitting with him in the audience there and asking him his opinion. And, you know, it was good to see Dorian out there. And there was a lot of pros out there. And in addition to the people who were competing. So it made it a little more enjoyable. Ann Pratt was the highest placing American there. You know, you usually the Americans dominate these events, but not to be in Finland this weekend. Ann Pratt was third. Gieda Simari from Italy was fourth in the figure. Speaking of Italy, though, Chris, I went to this restaurant just haphazardly. The first restaurant I walked into when I was in Finland, when I got to Lahti, Sally and I went and ate this Italian restaurant. They immediately came up to me and they said, "You must be Sicilian." Now, how the fuck they knew I was Sicilian, I have no idea, because I don't think I look Italian at all. And I didn't tell anyone my name or anything like that. And from that moment on, I was like their favorite, you know, their favorite son. thankfully enough.
What you eat there? What did you eat? What you eat at an Italian restaurant?
I had some salmon, and I had some
same stuff you always
I had some pasta and some bread, something like that. But ironically, KP-Arama, of all places to pick for the after party, he picked the same place I went to. Mama Maria's.
Oh, that's
there.
Funny.
And when we went back, they were going crazy. They gave me gifts and scarves, and you know. They have an interesting thing in Europe. They don't expect tips when you eat there, and they get very uncomfortable when you try to offer them money, which I find amusing. In America, they'll yell at you if your tip isn't big enough. You know,
automatically tack it on.
I understand why people want to move to Europe. It's a completely different mentality there. It's a little slower, but people are respectful. I enjoyed myself. I could have stayed there another 2 weeks. I was really relaxed. I didn't feel like I was in a foreign world. I felt like I was in a very comfortable, you know, loving environment there. And so I can't say enough good stuff about Finland and about KP and all the crew. My good friend Ronnie Niemi, who was in the show and who helped me do the wrap-up at the end, him and his family opened their arms to us. We sat and ate with them dinner, and we had a great time. We're going to be doing some future stuff with them as well, as far as coverage in the Scandinavian company in the countries with them. I have some good ideas for that. But the man of the night really was Ruly Winkler. Now, you and I have been, no one has been tougher on Ruly Winkler than you and I, Chris. And you know what? I even said it to him and Sybil, and they knew it. And I said, the reason we were hard on you guys was because we knew what you guys were capable of bringing. And we We did not see it from you guys, and you brought it. You brought it tonight. Not only did you bring it tonight, you brought it in spades. I said, because no one was even close to you. And the thing that scared me, Chris, was that after prejudging, you know, the Europeans don't do things exactly the way the United States people do it. So the European judges didn't have him in the middle; they had him off to the side. And I was like, and they had Ronnie Rockle in the middle, and they even said Ronnie Rockle in the middle. I'm like, I cannot believe that Ronnie Raquel is going to win this show. Because he just was way off. He was flat. His glutes and hamstrings were not hard. His lower back was soft. And Ronnie's a great guy. And you know what? They really love Ronnie in Finland. If he would have come in shape, I think he could have beaten Winkler here just because of the court of public opinion. But he was off, and they gave Ruly the win. And if you go see the pictures on rxmuscle.com, and you look at the wrap-up video we did with the posing footage, you'll see why Ruly won here. He was just spectacular.
This is all-time best?
Conditioning was his all-time best. I still think his legs are down a little in size, Chris, from when he won that New York Pro. I got to go back and look at the video. Something is just not right there. But the lineup was not as good, obviously, as the last show he did, and he was just peeled, and he was full. He was as full and peeled. He was the best he could be given with what muscle he had to work with. I'd still like to see his legs come up. I think he's going to have problems at the Olympia. I don't think he's going to be able to break that top six. I just don't think he's big enough. But he put on quite a show for the Finns. They went crazy for him. They loved him. And he deserved his victory. Another guy that impressed the hell out of me. There was only two guys that really impressed the hell out of me. Robert Petrakowicz, okay? I think I'm pronouncing his name right. Was a guy that I know you and I have critiqued because of his weird shape. Sometimes he gets a little blocky at the waist. He's always in pretty good conditioning. His conditioning was so good, Chris, that it reminded me of Andreas Munzer. And for those of you listening out there who knew Munzer, they called him the Munzer Monster because he was so shredded that you could almost see through his skin. And unfortunately, he died at a show of what we don't know, but possibly a diuretic overdose. But this guy was always peeled. And you know what? Petrakowicz looked just as good as him. Probably had better shape. Genetic shape, he probably would have beaten Winkler because he was bigger than Winkler. His legs were better than Winkler's, and his conditioning, believe it or not, was better than Winkler's. But it was a great battle. I enjoyed it. I'm really happy that he was able to nail his conditioning like that because you know, the European fans appreciate that.
No, I've seen him. Whenever he has two, there's two versions of him. Well, there's three. There's cut, there's ripped, and there's
yeah.
And you know, it's hard to repeat that diced condition. I've seen it. I can't recall which show he's hit it like that a couple other times before.
This was his best. Yeah. You know what? You can't tell from the pictures. The pictures do not tell the story.
We said it before. We're not racially profiling or anything like that, but white guys just don't look that hard in pictures. You got to see him in person. There were fibers that were just vibrating like, you know, strings in the super string theory of the universe. That's how they were vibrating.
Did he come out before or after Winkler?
He was
like when he did his.
I think he was before. It didn't matter. He was the best as far as conditioning goes. But he was before Winkler. But people were just going crazy. I was going crazy. I couldn't believe the level of separation in those muscles that he had, and it was very impressive. And he deserves second place. I hope he gets to the Olympia. I don't know if he's going to have enough points. I haven't checked the latest point tally, but I know that Fred Biggie Smalls, while he totally did not bring the look that he needed to bring in here. To win, which is kind of sad in a way because, you know, he had a good shot at doing very well here. He backs into this Olympia, and I'll tell you how.
Really?
When Ruly Winkler won this show, it removed him from the points the points total. And
oh, I didn't know
when he pulled
that
him
works.
Out of that, it moves Smalls into that fifth place spot. Interestingly, actually, he's in a tie, it looks like, with De La Rosa. I think that Smalls is going, he told me. Tony Freeman's first in the points total. He's got 11 points. He's going. Pekulski's second with 10 points. He's going. Hide Tata is third with 7 points. He's going. Balto Abaspor from Iran, who we're going to talk to him about him in a few minutes. He's going with 7 points. John De La Rosa and Fred Smalls has got 6 points each. I don't know if they're both going or how they're going to work that out. Oh, I see. Hide Tata and Balto Abaspor are tied for third. So I don't know. I wonder how that works. Third, fourth. So I wonder if they're going to both go. That's interesting. I guess we'll have to hear about that and find out. But I was disappointed in Smalls because I thought I was predicting Smalls for second place. And he came in really flat. Nothing was popping. He lost all that wow factor that we saw in Hartford and that
yeah,
we
had
saw
in
Chicago.
Yeah, he had a lot of wow factor in Hartford. Excellent.
It was a disappointment in a sense. But let's go back for a second because Ronnie Raquel settles for third. I already talked about him being off. Still has the great shape, obviously. Baitola Abaspor, who I just mentioned. And you know, I've seen his name spelled 15 different ways. I've seen it spelled Balto. B-A-L-T-O, Baitos, B-O-S, that's how they pronounce it in Finland. And then I have it in our database as Baitola, which is, I see it online. Maybe one of our Persian listeners can explain to me if that it might be just like some kind of a national type of, I mean, a Persian thing, I don't know. But this guy is about as tall as Jose Raymond, maybe shorter. He probably can't weigh much more than Jose Raymond, and the guy is shredded. I would have had him in third above Ronnie Raquel, obviously, just by his conditioning. I don't know why this guy's not competing in the 212 class. It's beyond me because there's no way he can weigh more than 210 pounds. I don't even think he weighs 200 pounds, to be honest with you. And he would be a very dangerous 212 guy.
Where did he come from? Where was
he's
he
from
before?
Iran.
Like these,
he's from Iran.
I know, but where did he qualify to become a pro? Like world championships?
Probably world championships. I would think. No. And
he was really impressive in the last show I saw. I can't remember.
You saw him in the Mr. Europe. He was third. He was also in FIBO Germany. He was fourth. So.
He's consistent.
Yes, he is consistent.
He's very consistent.
I would love to. I try to ask him what he weighs, but he didn't speak English very well, and I was having trouble communicating with him. So, this guy's dangerous. I'm telling you, you got to go back and look at the pictures of him, and you'll be. Very
I already
impressed.
Saw the pictures. Yeah. He looked crazy. He's round as can be with a vacuum.
Todd Jewell,
big stomach back.
Todd Jewell settles for fifth place here. Not his best. I thought his best was in Dallas at the Europa Super Show. Comes a little flat here. He is the biggest guy in the lineup, however. He snags fifth place. And the rest of the lineup is really not much to write home about. So the top five was good, though. And I think that that's important because when the crowd is roaring and you see the top five going at it, it's exciting. And the lineup was good. The Europeans were well represented here. Ruly Winkler is going to the Olympia. Gal Yates wins. She's going to the Olympia. And all is good in the world. And Chris, once again, I had a great time in Finland. And I would go back in a heartbeat next year. Hopefully KP will be bringing us back again. You know, interestingly, in the amateur, they had the Finnish World Championships there, too. Well, I don't know if it's called the world champs. The Finnish national champions.
National champions. Yeah.
And Yasmin Yasmin Orama, which was KP's wife, won the show, believe it or not. It was a very, very hot contested contest. And you would think, oh, she won the show because KP runs the organization. Absolutely not. She's absolutely stunningly beautiful. Her shape was great. Her conditioning was good. Matter of fact, I didn't see her all weekend, and I kept saying to KP, where the hell's your wife? You keep talking about your wife. I haven't seen her. I didn't know she was competing. I thought he had her locked away in a closet or something like that, you know. But she locked herself away, and she was getting ready for the show, and she looked phenomenal.
How old is she? He's no spring chicken.
I don't know. Yeah, he's been around a long time. He's got a nice
been
young,
around for years. He's got years, a nice
young
years.
Wife. He's got a very nice young wife. I like it. I hope to emulate him one day. And that was it.
Well, I'm sure you'll take a nice young wife before an older wife. It's funny how the man always goes after a younger woman.
Yeah, I don't care. She doesn't have to be too much younger, but just a little younger. In the 212, qualification series, you know, we got some interesting developments, Chris, because Kevin English is going to be sitting out the Olympia. I don't know exactly the reason right now, but he will not be defending his 212 title, which leaves the door wide open for guys like Flex Lewis, Jose Raymond, who you'll be helping, and Eduardo Correa, who you'll be helping. So you're going to have some of the probably the top two, the best two or three of the best, you know, top guys in that 212 class. And Farnsworth will be going too. There's another guy you got in there.
That's right. He's qualified.
So, that's right. So yeah, we got Marco.
All three. If you add up Farnsworth's weight, Jose's weight, and Correa's weight, I think it's just shy of Dorian's greatest offseason weight.
Probably. So Marco Rivera will be going. Raul Jimenez will be going. Sean Joseph Tavernier will be going. Guy Cisternino will be going. And Farnsworth will be going. So I wonder if Samuel Haddad is going to go. I don't think so. I think he's out too.
He
just missed. Yeah, he just missed. Yeah. Dugdale missed.
Dugdale, he's out, right?
Yeah, they both missed. Farnsworth is going to sneak in there on that last thing. So that's good. It's exciting. It's very exciting. You know, the Olympia coming up in 4 weeks. Women's bodybilling
three,
is all
three,
set.
Three weeks.
Excuse me. I thought we had 4 weeks off. I actually have three weeks off. What is it? I have this. Yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weekends off, and then it's the third.
2 weeks
weekend?
Off, because then you're gonna be there. Like, yeah.
Okay. I was giving myself an extra weekend off here. It was wishful thinking.
Nice,
I guess.
But it's not gonna happen.
One, two. Yeah, you're right. 2 weeks off. All right, well, that's the way it works out. In the women's bodybuilding, Kim Buck will be going in the qualification series. Michelle Cummings will be going. Kathy LeFrancois, Sheila Bleck, and Hila Nelson will be going as well. So that'll be exciting in the women's bodybuilding. And then in the qualification series for the figure, you got Allison Fron, Mallory Haldeman, Larissa Rice, Natalie Waples, and Alicia Hart will be going. And then in the fitness division, who we got here? We got Danielle Rubin, Fiona Harris, Kizzy Vaines, Vanda Halderin, and Allison Ethier. And then finally in bikini, they got Jennifer Chapman, Justine Monroe, Dana Malayton, Taylor Metheny, and Marcella Tribben. Our girl there will be making it to the Olympia. That's great. Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, Chris.
You got a for the Mr. Olympia? I want to know if you want to go out on a limb. Before we wrap it up.
You know, it would be safe bet to say Phil Heath. I am going to go on a line and say possibly. I really want to say I like Kai Greene. I really do. I want to see the guy win the Olympia. I don't know if he's got the mental fortitude to do it. I just think that it's like a psych out with him. He's got a problem. It's like we are the U.S. Open. You remember he won every tennis tournament there was. He could never win the U.S. Open. I hope that isn't the case with Kai Greene. Because if Kai Greene's going to beat Phil Heath, he's going to have to be his best. Unless Phil Heath gets some kind of like food poisoning or something like that, which is always possible.
Well, that's why you don't question it.
I think that Eduardo Correa has a very good chance of winning the 212 Olympia. What do you think about that prediction?
Well, with I think he's got a good chance with Kevin English out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Meaning, the door's open.
You know, I always thought Correa was better than English, but at the end of the day, as much as I would criticize English. And I would say, Eduardo Correa smoked him. But, you know, you look at the pictures and you say, well, the two times that Kevin beat him, Kevin was pretty freaky.
Yeah, that's true.
Might not have been the prettiest bodybuilder, but he was, you know.
He had the size, though.
Especially the second time. The second time he looked like he was, you know, he actually, the second time they had their big showdown, English looked like he was probably like 292 a week out and somehow sucked it down to two, you know what I mean? Meaning he just looked enormous.
Right.
So it's always hard to compete against somebody who's just, you know, enormous, enormous. So with him out, you know, anything can happen, I think.
Well, I want to say one thing. I want to say that you and Aaron and Morgan and Dan Ray did a and John Hanson did a great job down there in Sarasota this past week and holding down the fort while Sally, myself, and Pierre Lamley were over there in Finland. So congratulations. And, of course, we're going to be able to congratulate Aaron on the birth of his new son. We've got a commercial break. When we come back, we might actually hear from the new Asher Slinky Singerman.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years' experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom-tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com.
Quest Bars from Quest Nutrition is Dave Palumbo's favorite protein bar. It's the only bar that's not simply a candy bar in disguise. There's no sugar or sugar alcohols, no soy, and zero trans fat. Quest Bars contain only the highest grade protein from whey and milk protein isolates. Quest Bars are also the lowest carb bar available, only 4 to 5 grams, and they all come from nuts. Quest Bars are also gluten-free. Quest Bars were specifically made for people who are serious about their physiques and who want the highest quality ingredients. Best of all, they taste great. Learn more about Quest Bars by visiting questproteinbar.com and try them out for yourself. Check out questproteinbar.com now.
Hey man, this is Mike Chain from Six Pack Shortcuts. If you want to build rip muscle fast, then I just posted a new video you've got to see. You can check it out at mikechainmusclebuilding.com. In that video, I'll show you why I never do traditional bodybuilding workouts anymore, and I'll show you the insane new style of working out I'm using instead called afterburn training. The reason why I like afterburn training is that it allows me to build lean muscle fast while still staying lean and ripped. So go to mikechainmusclebuilding.com now to find out how you can start building muscle faster. One more time, that's mikechainmusclebuilding.com. If you want to build rip muscle fast, then I just posted a new video you've got to see. You can check it out at mikechainmusclebuilding.com. I'll show you why I never do traditional bodybuilding workouts anymore to find out how you can start building muscle faster. One more time, that's mikechainmusclebuilding.com. I'll see you there.
Out on the edge of fitness and endurance, there's a line. It's where winners and losers are defined. That's the narrow place where Gamma O gives the serious competitor the extra step. That extra kick nobody knew was there. Gamma O raises your testosterone level naturally and legally. So before you step up to the line one more time, be prepared to bring it with Gamma O, the all-natural testosterone booster. Gamma O is available nationwide at General Nutrition Centers or on the web at GammaO.com.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at HighProteinBread.com. P28 is also now available at Bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. HighProteinBread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved.
So are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage. While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop. And also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian
bodybuilding.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I am on the phone with a proud new papa. I'd like to welcome Aaron Chewbacca Singerman, proud father of Asher Singerman. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you, Dave. I like how dramatic my intro was.
It's a very dramatic day for you.
Yeah, very dramatic pauses. I like that.
You're on, we're on the radio on your son's birthday, his first birthday.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty amazing.
Aaron's actually in the back of the delivery room right now, calling in, whispering into the phone. So that he will not be discovered. We need to have... It's funny because Sally and I were sitting in the airport in Helsinki and we were saying to ourselves, I wonder if Daria will give birth before we take off. She did not. She held on a couple... about an hour later than when we flew out. But I hear it all went well. Now, what is the official weight on your son?
6 pounds, 10 ounces.
All right. So this is technically the before pictures, right?
Yeah, these are before pictures.
Because everything from this point forward is the after picture.
That's right, he's going to get big, yeah.
Well, we were trying to think of a nickname for him, and we were sitting in the Helsinki airport, and I said, why don't we call him Helsinki? And I said, well, that's going to be too long, so we nicknamed him Slinky. So Aaron Slinky Singerman, which kind of sounds like an old Jewish mobster.
You don't think Asher? You can just call him Ash or something.
Well, it's Asher's his real name, but you know, if we want to, you know, if he's going to be a part of the Whack Pack eventually, he's going to need his nickname. So we got Chewbacca and Slinky. You know, can't get much better than that. How's Darielle doing? That's what we really want to know. We don't really care about you.
No, of course not. She's doing good. She was really a trooper throughout the whole process. I've never witnessed anything like that before firsthand.
How many hours?
28 hours of labor.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so she was a trooper, man. Like, you always hear about women getting angry and acting crazy and whatever. And she really wasn't. You know, when she's in pain, she's more quiet. Like, she didn't want me to talk to her or to be involved in conversation. But in reality, she was really really a trooper, man. I was very impressed.
Were you there the entire 28 hours?
Yeah. When she started pushing, I held up one of her legs and...
Wow, that's pretty crazy. Now, when you saw the baby coming, the head coming out, were you disgusted by it? Were you amazed? What was the first description?
I purposely did not look in that direction. I was facing her face the entire time.
You're very smart. Very smart man.
She did not want me to look down there, and I've been advised by many people not to look in that direction. So I have no idea what happened, and I didn't. Her mom was looking. Her mom was holding up the other leg.
Oh, my God.
Her mom was looking, and she passed out.
Did she really?
Yeah, she passed out. She was the first grandmother that's ever passed out in the operating room.
What do they do when you pass out? Did they have to just like...
Some of the nurses had to leave Darielle and start helping her mom. Put her in a chair, and her mom was sweating and turned real white and kind of fell over.
You must have thought you were in a bodybuilding stage, you know? They, you know.
Yeah, she cramped up. She cramped up, low electrolytes. So potassium was messed up.
The stupid. It was George Farah gave her too many diuretics before she came into the operating room. That's what it was.
Something like that.
So she goes 28 hours. Now, at what point were they going to say, you know what, we're going to do a C-section? I'm sure at some point they were thinking about that, huh?
It was getting close. There was some. Also, there were some points during the pregnancy where the baby's heart rate dropped significantly. You know, the heart rate of a baby is. Like, the average heart rate was about 140, 130. Uh-huh. There were some times where, when she was having contractions, the baby's heart rate would get down to the 80s and 70s.
Uh-oh. What happens then?
I didn't sleep at all. That's why I'm so tired today. I didn't sleep at all. Because every time we would try to relax, something like this would happen, and all the nurses would come in and everything. And it turns out, of course, we don't really know what was happening, but their philosophy, or their theory, the nurse's theory was that when the contraction was happening, Asher was grabbing his umbilical cord and basically squeezing it. or that he was leaning on it, you know, because what they would do is they would shift her to a different position. They'd put oxygen on her.
Right.
And they would shift her from one side to another or up and down, or they would start kind of massaging the belly, and the contraction would end, and then the heart rate would go back to normal.
I got you.
So we had some, I don't know if you would consider that complications or what, but it got a little scary a few times.
Asher thought he was going to climb out. That's why. He thought he had a rope there. He was going to, you know, just take off.
Yeah, it. So if that would have kept happening, then they would have had a C-section. But towards the end there, she was pushing and stuff like that, and it was going for a while. And I guess at some point they would have called it a day. I know the doctor was getting, I could tell he was getting a little aggravated that he was there for so long, you know.
Did she need to get an episiotomy?
What does that mean?
I guess they didn't do it. Well, they cut the vagina to open a little bit extra.
No, no, yeah. Thank God there's no cutting of the vagina.
All right, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, no cutting. Yeah. So,
sure everything's tight in there, yeah.
Yeah, of course. That was a big major concern for her.
Now, I saw a picture of her with holding the baby, and she looked great. It looked like she just was ready to get on stage. I mean, her face looked good. She looked a little tired, but she was actually glowing, I have to say.
Yeah, she was very happy that the baby was there. You know, she's already in love.
Right. Has she breastfed yet?
Yeah, she's doing it right now, yeah.
Now, how often does that get done?
Every 2 hours right now.
Wow, so the baby's in the room with her?
Yeah, he's in the room with her the whole time. And right now, what they do is she's feeding it colostrum.
Right, first 48 hours.
Yeah.
So, all the good stuff, all the IGF. You should be drinking some of that, too, and help your build you get bigger.
I know. I was thinking, but there's only so much I'm going to give.
Well, she's got two breasts. Baby. You drink off one, and then the baby gets the other one. You know.
Yeah.
You could probably bottle it and sell it. Yeah.
Absolutely, I would definitely think so. All we need to do is call it colostromize, and you can sell it on.
That's right. Website. I don't know if she can produce enough to meet with demand, though.
No,
it'd have to
be very expensive.
Very expensive. Yes, exactly. It's Jewish colostrum too. It would be kosher.
Oh, very expensive. That's even more expensive.
We can get Morty, right? He's a natural bodybuilder. Morty would use it.
Oh, yeah.
He could take
it. You know, it's interesting. I don't think we've ever talked about this before. This is totally off the subject. But, you know, people sell eggs. Women sell their eggs now.
Right. No, I know. I know a girl who does it.
They're very valuable. And apparently, Jewish eggs, because, you know, Jewish parents want to have Jewish children. They want the eggs to be even Jewish. They're very, very valuable.
I didn't know that.
A girl, I think you can go in, you can get around $9,000.
Now, what if you convert? Do you still consider Jewish eggs?
No. Definitely not. All right. You're trying to already scam the eggs.
Well, I figure this girl's she's making so much money. I figure if she converts to be a Jew, she could probably double the amount of money she's getting per egg.
Yeah, I think they do a lot of research on that. Like, you can buy eggs from a Jewish girl that went to Harvard, or, you know what I mean? They have a whole market for
I gotcha. Yeah, well, so. You didn't have to go shopping for eggs. You had your own. Wow. That's good.
Yeah. Now, the baby is very cute, surprisingly cute for a newborn baby. And, right.
Does he have any hair?
I should ask you. He's got hair. I need to send you a picture of him recently so that you can tell me if people are just lying to me and telling me that the baby's cute or if the baby's really cute.
I saw a picture that you posted. The baby looks very cute for a newborn. Usually newborns are ugly looking.
Yeah, they're squished. They're all squished. He didn't come out with a cone head. Because the squeezing makes the head strange shape. Right. But it's funny, the doctor said that it'll take a few days for the head to go back normal, and surprisingly, I guess just in a few hours, his head is almost normal now.
Wow. When's the breast
when
now?
Came out. What's that?
When's your breast? Or his breast, I should say.
Monday the 17th.
Next Monday, huh?
You better get your ticket.
I'm looking. If it's not crazy, I might come.
I know. Mike Popkin told me that he thinks you're coming.
He called me already. I saw him. I had just gotten off the plane. I didn't have the no, he wants me to come. I'm going to see if I can do it. I would only do it out of respect for you.
It's only one night, you know.
I'll hang out at Popkin's house.
My parents will be thrilled if you come.
Is your dad and mom coming in?
Yeah, they're both coming. He delayed his first chemo this next session so that he can make sure to be able to be there.
Oh, great. Awesome. Well, you know, look, it couldn't have happened to a nicer couple. Congratulations. And I want to just, I told Sally this when she was on earlier, but I said that you're really the MVP of the weekend because not many guys in your situation with the kind of stress you had from with the baby and whether she was, Dario was going to go into labor, would actually be able to go to a show 3 hours away and do the job that you did and get all the video edited and still make it back in time for the wife, your wife to give birth. And you stayed up for like 48 hours straight. So I want to just personally thank you on the radio for doing a phenomenal job this weekend.
It's my pleasure, Dave. You know, it's nice to be able to do what you love. And, you know, it felt stressful because of the situation, but it doesn't even feel like a job, you know? So, I just did what I had to do and, came back and, all my free time has been spent when she's asleep. I'm editing video.
Yeah, well, you know, that's you get the job done. While you were delivering babies, I was on the airplane flying back from Finland, and I saw some good movies. I saw the Avengers, which I really liked. Yeah. I saw the Hunger Games, which I know you liked. I wasn't too thrilled with the ending. Didn't really.
I liked the books. The movie was only okay. Dario loved the movie. The books were better. Especially was good. They toned down a lot of the violence, which I felt like was the
yeah. I wanted to appeal. See more killing. I wanted to see more killing in there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they really toned it down a lot because the idea of kids killing each other is pretty taboo. Sure. So you know, they really toned it down a little. I think a little too much because I think part of the appeal of the story is that it's like out of this world crazy. You know. These kids come from all over, right. And kill each other, basically.
You know? Yeah, the concept, the whole way they set it up was great. I just thought that the way it played out was not that exciting. It was kind of anticlimactic at the end, but the whole movie was compelling, and so I liked it.
For a plane movie, that's
great plane movie.
Two great plane movies.
I also saw Wrath of the Titans, which I was not thrilled at. And you know, I like all the Greek god stuff. I thought it was a little cheesy, but
you didn't like that one.
No, it wasn't too good. But you know what? I did watch a classic. I watched What About Mary? Something About Mary. There's Something About Mary. I saw half of that, and you know what? I hadn't seen it in a really long time. And if anyone out there has not seen There's Something About Mary, it's so funny that you'll piss your pants. I love that movie. And
the plane. Let's talk about the plane ride for a second. Yeah. You know, obviously we're going to India in a few weeks now. What, 3 weeks? 4 weeks? Something like that?
4 weeks, yeah.
After taking this plane ride, are you more or less nervous about the plane ride to India?
I'm not nervous about any plane ride. I was fine, actually, to tell you the truth. I actually took a Xanax, and it didn't work on me. I only slept 2 hours. If I could do work on the plane, I think I'm going to be good. I'm going to have to bring some books to read because I did a lot of reading. And as long as there's movies to watch, I think I'll be all right. Obviously, India's 18 hours. That's going to be a little bit more extreme. But I think I have a good idea of what we're going to do on the plane. I don't want to give away our strategy, but I got some good ideas, right? I don't think it'll be too bad. So
I was talking to Isaac Hines, of all people. We sat in a lot of the time during the flight to India, and we did one of the radio shows. He helped me host, and we actually had a pretty decent time. And he was saying that, you know, we were talking about everybody's so nervous to go again. And all these people were saying how they just, you know, can't wait till they're there, so they want to deal with the flight. And I actually had fun with that flight. You know, I had a nice little buzz going to vodka.
Yeah, I was drinking the whole flight too. That helped me.
Yeah. So, I think you were, and also I don't know about that plane. But on the plane to India, you have like literally like hundreds of selections of movies.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, Finnair was a very nice plane. It was clean. It was new. The seats were leather. Sally had some preferential seating because of her frequent flyer status. So we had exit row seats. I had no one in front of me. So it wasn't too bad. If I have anything that's similar to that for India, I think I'll be fine.
Well, let's hope.
Well, look, I know you got a lot to do. I know you haven't slept. I just wanted to check in with you. Give us a brief summary. I talked to Chris a little bit about the competition. Give us a brief summary of what went on at the Valenti Cup this past weekend.
What divisions you want to hear about?
First of all, the layout of the whole show. How did it run? Did it run smoothly in your... Was it a successful show?
For a media person, I mean, I guess for anybody there, it was great because it was very fast, and they split it into 2 days. So it started at 3. We were done at like 6:30 or so, 7 o'clock. So it was really great. You know, I like when they make the shows you know, and you do too, of course, when they make the shows pretty, like, succinct, you know? And
sure.
With 100 competitors, it could be long. It didn't feel long at all. It felt, you know, entertaining and not that stressful. As far as the level of competitors, there's a lot of really good people. I thought the judging was pretty right on. There's a few judging stuff that I would have had differently, but most of it was pretty, you know, accurate, in my opinion, and it was fun. I mean, I like the show. First of all, Patricia Valente did a great job as far as the venue. This place was top-notch. The hotel was great. Mm-hmm. The venue itself was good. It felt like, me and Chris were saying, it felt like a boutique show.
Right.
Because you're so, everybody is close to the stage. You know, there's only like, there's probably 50 rows, 50 seats wide, and 20 rows back. So there's only, and the stage is very big, so you got 1,000 people in there, so everybody is basically pretty close.
Well, that works. I like that better, yeah. That's always good. Now, as far as the competition goes, I saw Erin Stern easily won the figure. How do you think she's going to do against Nicole Wilkins at that Olympia? Is there a chance she could win it?
My opinion is that Erin looked extremely good today. She looked almost as good as she's ever looked. I think 2009, I think, was the year that I thought I liked her best. She was a little smaller version of that. I think she looked really, really good. If it goes on physique only, if it's just physique, then I would expect Erin Stern to win. I have a feeling that's not going to happen this year, but that is the opinion that I got. She walks out there and she just looks like a winner, man. It's one of those things that me and Chris were just talking about. When Jay Cutler came out and he reclaimed his title, you know, in 2010, excuse me, you just saw the confidence in how he moved and how he was on stage and his presentation. You see that with Erin almost every time, and this was one of them. The one I was actually most impressed with, Dave, was Kamala Macko, who was in second place. Remember you interviewed her at USA?
Yep, that's Philip Michael Thomas's stepdaughter.
Yeah. She looks, I mean, she was great at the show. She was unbelievable. I mean, you don't ever beat the champ, you know? So going against Erin, she didn't stand a chance. I would never have seen her beat her, but she pushed her.
Yeah.
The girl is in great, amazing shape. I think she could have won almost any show this year.
That's a nice compliment coming from you. Karina Nascimento wins the women's physique. That's two wins for her this year. Was she better?
Bigger.
Yeah, way better.
Way bigger. I don't want to say way bigger. She was significantly more muscular and significantly leaner than you saw her in Arizona.
Right.
And when she won her last one, she said she noticed the way the division is going with other Brazilian chicks. You know, she said Patricia Mello and Juliana Malacarne are her two favorites.
Sure.
And she thought that she was able to put on, you know, a few more pounds of muscle and come in, you know, 30% tighter. And she did that. And, you know, she was right there at the cusp of having her glutes striated. And she said that's what was her goal. And they rewarded it. And I got to say that I'm a fan of what they're doing with this division.
Good.
It looks a little bit more like 80s bodybuilders.
Yeah, well, you know, you and I have talked about that before. We don't want to see just figure competitors doing poses, you know.
Right, that's it.
So, all right. Well,
I agree with that.
It seems like it was a great weekend. I saw Miriam Capes had a great routine. She must have been awesome if she beat Kamala Rodriguez, who's always a tough competitor.
Yeah, Kamala had already qualified. I saw her backstage, and Kamala is one of those girls that when she doesn't win, basically when she doesn't win, she's not happy. You know, you can like see she's pissed, she's unhappy. Not that she's a bad sport, but it's just all over her face. So when I saw her backstage, I was expecting to see her mad because I forgot that she qualified at Fort Lauderdale last year.
Right.
And she was actually happy. You know, she said that her routine and Miriam's routine were very different. She does more dance and Miriam was like, you know, Cirque du Soleil, basically.
Right.
And she was okay with it. She said it was a warm-up show and she'll be better at the
Olympics. Well, we have to remember, too, Miriam Capes was third at the Olympia last year. So she's a higher-ranked competitor than Kamala Rodriguez. So I think that probably, you know, I could understand her winning this show. Probably, you know, there's going to be a big rematch coming up at the Olympia in a couple weeks. I'm sure Kamala will beat her best there.
Right. That's what she was saying.
Well,
Miriam was impressive. Wait till you see. Go to YouTube, Dave. I put it on YouTube, her routine.
I love her routines.
Her routine was this is totally different. Have you ever seen that? You've never seen this thing before.
I have not seen this routine. I'm going to watch it right after we get off this thing because I'm really excited.
She got taught by a guy in Toronto, one of the lead acts at the Cirque du Soleil headquarters.
Wow.
Taught her how to do this act, and it was really neat. She is very, very good at it. She was super smooth.
Looking forward to it. I want one more question before I let you go. Lexi Kaufman, 13th place in bikini. What went on there? She looked great to me.
I told her hi, you know, obviously. She's listening to the show. I thought she looked great. I think that Lacey is just a little skinny.
Lexi. You know Lexi. I mean? Lexi Kaufman.
Lexi, I'm sorry. I'm thinking Lacey. I got mixed up. Lexi is a little skinny, you know, a little slight compared. She's short and small in structure. I just think she needs a little bit more muscle. I don't know, you know, like, I think obviously the more she, you know, she's a relatively new pro. The more she gets on stage, the better she'll do. She looks beautiful. She had a good stage presence. The only thing I can tell you is that she is small.
Nicole Negrani's pretty small, though.
I don't know. She appears a little bigger, though, you know? Mm. Like, when you look at her on stage, she is small, though. She is. But she looks like she's got a little bit more muscle on her than Lexi.
Right. Well, I will say one thing. I looked at the pictures, and Lacey DeLuca, who is second, looks super hot in these pictures. And obviously, Yashira Robles was unbelievable. And you know, my favorite is Marcella Tribben, who took third. So you had a great top three there, huh?
I was so disappointed that Morgan did a great job. First off, I don't want to say anything. You got to preface this negative statement by a positive statement. She did a great job filming. She's no complaining, does what she needs to do, and did a great job. But she forgot to press record on a little skit that I had Marcella Tribben do for you. When I was looking for the skit, you know, I was really bummed because she did a whole thing about, you know, oh, Dave, you know, she's like, basically, she's like, Dave, I know you're in Finland. I miss you so much. I want to give you this kiss, and I wanted to, she blows you a kiss, and she's like, and I wanted to give you something else. I tell you, I see you.
Oh, boy.
I was like, oh.
Did you put her up to that, or is that unprovoked?
Actually, those were her words. I just said to give you a shout-out when you're in Finland, and that's what she came up with. And I was going to end the interview with that, like put it as a separate clip, like an outtake, and it was gone. It was like, that never existed.
Oh, boy. So I think Morgan purposely didn't record it. That's what I think.
Morgan got jealous?
No, I was just kidding. But all right, so I got to go collect my whatever it is at the Olympia, then, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, whatever the other thing is.
She's qualified. I was just reading the qualifications off the Crystal earlier, and she is on that list, so she'll be there.
Wow, well, there you go. So you can get your both of those.
I hope that she doesn't plan to just clean my teeth or something like that. You know, that would be kind of a letdown.
Yeah, well, she'd give you a little wink, and kind of a smile. That would definitely be a letdown.
Well, good job, Jabakin, with the hookup there. Now that you're a father, you have to be a wingman, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm a permanent wingman, that's for sure.
Well, go get some sleep, my friend. Like I said, great weekend, and thank you for spearheading all our coverage down there in Sarasota while I was in Finland with Sally. And next week, we will get back to the Ask Dave and Stump the Jumbo sections. We have off for a couple weeks before the Olympia, and we have a lot more to talk about. But for now, we're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, Sally Ann Taylor on the line.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements on the market. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling pro-anabolics. Methadrol Extreme, Super DMZ RX, Cytostain RX, and E-Control RX with 6OXO. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron
Sirens. Are you looking for some of the most groundbreaking, highest quality nutritional supplements on the market? Then look no further than BioFlex Nutrition. 100% Australian owned and direct from the manufacturer. You'll get some of the most pure and affordable supplements offered today. Better yet, with no proprietary blends or fillers, and by including only the best ingredients, we proudly bring to the market Australia's purest range of supplements. Find us online at bioflexnutrition.com.au. BioFlex Nutrition, Australia's purest supplements. That's BioFlex, ready to go.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I am distinguished to say right now that I have the one and only, backed by popular demand, the Finnish phenomenon, Sally Taylor in the studio.
Woohoo, hello.
Well, you know, I was trying to think of a guest for the show, and it's already Monday night. We've heard the show's already late, and I said, who better than to get than Sally? You know exactly what went on this past weekend. You were with me every minute of the day. And,
I know. We haven't killed each other or anything. How many days have we been together now? 24 hours?
Yeah, we get along. That's because we're not married. That's why we get along
exactly
so well.
That's exactly what it is.
Now, Sally and I flew out on, what was it, Wednesday evening?
Wednesday evening.
Of course, you had a problem with your flight getting here on time. Luckily, you came in the day before.
Yeah.
Which
well,
turned into...
I was supposed to come in the day before, but I wound up coming in the morning of, remember?
Mm, yeah. Before I get to telling that, I noticed you're looking at my fish tank. Do you notice that all the fish are alive?
They are. I was just checking it out. And because you were a little worried about that on the way home. You mentioned a couple times about your fish.
I think I got the water. I don't want to jinx myself, but I think I got the whole process down pat where I can know how to take care of the water chemistry and the feeding process. And need the water change now, but it didn't make it. We were gone 5 days, so I haven't lost the fish. That's a good sign, I guess.
It's very soothing in here right now. The lights are low. The fish tank is on.
Yeah. I had to turn the filters off because it makes too much noise. People were telling me there was a lot of background noise, and I'm thinking, why is that background noise? And then I realized those fish tanks.
Filters.
Yeah, the saltwater fish tanks work by a different mechanism. They flow over the overflow canisters, and it makes a waterfall-like sound, so it's a little more noisy than the freshwater fish tanks, but... you know how that works. Anyway, so we get on the plane Wednesday. We fly over there 7 hours. You figure, I have to tell you, I took a sleeping pill to fall asleep, and I fell asleep for about an hour. You probably fell asleep for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And but I will say one thing about Finnair is one of the best airlines I've ever been on.
Very clean, very nice, pretty colors, soothing blue colors.
That's right.
It was very nice.
There were TVs. We each had our own little TV, mm-hmm. Free movies, and better that than free movies, free wine.
That's right.
The wine never stopped.
Pretty much all weekend, or all the whole time we were in Finland, actually.
And, you know, as you know, I don't really use stimulants anymore ever since I stopped competing. I don't drink coffee. If I drink coffee, I drink decaffeinated coffee. Unfortunately, in Finland, there's no such thing as decaffeinated coffee. Matter of fact, when you ask them for decaffeinated coffee, they think you're crazy. So I'm assuming that must be an American construct.
I think it is, but wasn't the coffee delicious?
Oh, yeah.
It was so good.
I figured while I was in Europe, I would do like the Europeans do, and I drank coffee and drank wine the whole time I was there.
Right. I actually think I'm a little dehydrated because I didn't drink enough water, too much wine, and too much coffee.
Yeah, although I didn't realize this, but Finland has one of the best water supplies in the entire world.
Yeah, we bought a bottle of water the very first day, and we didn't need to. We found out after that, so we just drank. Water was great.
I would have liked to have brought my next year. I'll have to bring my pH kit to test the pH of the water to see if it might be alkaline for all we know.
But it might be. And what? How many lakes they have? Thousands, 10,000 lakes, or something like that.
It's the land of 1,000 lakes, and I don't know if that has anything to do with Lando Lakes butter or if it's
that's
just
Minnesota, because Minnesota is also the land of 1,000 lakes.
Oh.
I think Finland is the land of 10,000 lakes or something. 10,000
lakes.
KP was telling
lakes.
Me, Kate, 10,000.
All right. So that is a possibility, but I didn't see any lakes while we were there, but I hear that they are there. You saw them when we were flying over, right?
Yeah, I had the window seat, so when we flew over, there was nothing but lakes. Mm. Yeah.
Lahti doesn't have very much of anything other than a ski jump, which was very impressive, by the way.
That was really impressive. I hope everyone was impressed by your ski jump your very first time out. Yeah, that was an excellent ski jump.
Were you proud that I wasn't afraid of heights to go up there?
I was. You just marched right up there and shut off that thing.
Yeah.
Very proud of you.
I wish I could take credit for doing it, but I really can't because I don't have the balls or the gumption to do anything like that or that crazy.
Well, anybody takes a close look at that video and sees how skinny the guy was that jumped off the lift is going to know it wasn't.
Yeah, well, they think, ever since I lost weight, everyone thinks that I qualify. You know, if I had one more person ask if I still work out, I'm not big anymore, but I think I definitely
look, you definitely look like you work out. I think people just, all those people see the pictures of you,
right?
And they see those old pictures of when you're so big. I think that's probably what it is. Do you feel intimidated by that? You feel like maybe you should put more size back
on? No, I really am pretty confident with the way I look. Probably when I was 20, if someone would have said that, I would have lost my mind. I probably would have gone back and taken, a shot of testosterone or something like that. But it's actually a compliment because it means I have actually accomplished what I wanted to do.
Well, you were, we walked so much this week that you, with any extra weight, you'd have been huffing and puffing with the amount we walked.
You're right.
So.
But the air is cleaner there and it makes it easier. And I think the video that everyone's going to enjoy that we haven't put up yet, obviously, is going to be the video where we went to Helsinki on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of funny things. I don't want to give them all away, but there was a scene that I did some running up some steps.
Yes.
And I'll leave it at that. You guys will have to watch the video to see what steps I ran up and what was the reason behind it.
Helsinki was Helsinki was really beautiful. A lot of beautiful things that we didn't see in Lahti. So I'm really glad we went to Helsinki because of the architecture. The people were even different, very friendly. So it was going to be a fun video. Plus, you did shots.
I did shots. We did. I don't remember the names of all this. You do. So explain what the Finns do. They have a certain, it's not even a shot that they do. They do a series of three shots in a row. Do you remember what they were?
The first two were made by Korskenkova, which is like the unofficial official vodka of Finland. I mean, they have Finlandia, of course, which we can get here.
Right.
But this is called Korskenkova. And the first one was that black licorice flavor that you liked.
I like that.
I hate black licorice, so that one was... I mean, all of them are really rough. I don't know how the Finns do it.
Three in a row.
They got all of holes in their stomach. I did not feel well.
I think I had an ulcer after that. Right after I did it, it was killing me for fucking 3 hours.
The second one was just plain vodka. And that third one was not Korskenkova. I can't remember what it's called. I did put pictures on the forums and on Facebook, so somebody's going to have to take a look at that last one, which I thought was the killer. It was that peach-colored one. That one was that they were bad.
And I bought a shot for that one girl who was in the bar. Who it turned out later, they I think they told me she was a prostitute.
Yes. The bartender told us that the prostitute was trying to get Dave to spend some cash, but he resisted.
No, I think what the bartender said was watch your wallet, and I said, well, I got my hand covering it the whole time. I thought she was a pickpocket at first. I didn't quite get the reference. Well, she was sitting there drinking coffee, and I thought she was recovering from the night before's partying, but I guess she was recovering from the night before's
I think she'd been drinking the night before. Finland is one of the main drinking countries in the world anyway, so she probably had been drinking a lot the night before, and she even said that. She pointed at her shots and said that she was feeling nostalgic from the night before.
True, she was.
Yep.
She was. So that was fun. I did enjoy spending the whole day with Charles and his girlfriend, and they took us around. They took us to, what was the name of the gym that we went to? Do you remember?
Mayor's
gym is the hardcore gym of
Helsinki. I guess
Helsinki or Finland in general, they say. Although I know KP Orama's got his own hardcore gym in Lahti, but I guess you could say in Helsinki, everyone goes to Mayor's gym. And it's interesting. I like the fact that, we talk about hardcore gyms and the hardcore gym registry that we had a couple years back.
Right.
Mayor's definitely qualifies because it's not even owned by one person. It's owned by like a co-op. All the people who work there, the members own the gym. It's an amazing concept.
Right. They pay that yearly fee and then they have a committee and it's run by committee. Yeah, it is interesting. And I like that. It keeps the gym afloat. Everybody's responsible. Yeah. So they all keep it clean and it was really cool.
They all have a key. It's right? It's pretty. I mean, it's amazing. And I was like, well, no one's making any money, and all the money I guess goes back into the gym for repairs and equipment. They actually have a leg press there that weighs 600 pounds before it's loaded.
Yes. You got on that thing, and I could tell that you just weren't feeling.
Well, I had my jeans. I had my skinny jeans on, and I hadn't warmed up. I had walked 14 miles before that. And I said, you know what? All I need to do is a quad muscle, and then I'm going to have to suffer the rest of the weekend. So I decided not to try to attempt it.
No, but they did have some good equipment, and then there's some old school equipment. And I actually tried some of it out, but everything was taken care of in great shape. You know, for a hardcore gym, sometimes you don't always see that. A lot of times they're dirty and all the equipment's fucked up, well, but it was a good, nice
gym. You know what it is? When you own the equipment yourself, when the members own it, they take better care of it because they know that if it breaks, they're going to have to pay for to have it fixed. So I guess that's the motivation, you know.
The only thing I saw missing was there were just no Species products in their little store they had, Dave.
Well, you're going to have to work on that. Have to work on. They do have some big. They have a couple big companies there, like local companies. But I know that the Finns like American products, and I'm going to work on getting Species Nutrition in there for next year. I told I made a promise to KP that I would have a booth there if we had the products in there. So that's my. I'm going to work on that over the next couple of months here. Something that I really enjoyed was we went out to dinner. KP Orama, the promoter, held a nice after party for the press, the winners, I think, of the show, the pros, and then some of the top, I guess, sponsors of the show at Mama Maria's. Mm-hmm. I was mentioning this a little earlier to Chris. You and I had, of all restaurants...
That was the first one we chose.
It was the first one we chose. We had a drink of wine in there, and then I bonded with my Sicilian brothers in there and sisters.
They gave you a present. What did they give you?
They gave me a scarf.
Yes.
A latte scarf with a little soccer player on it, and I took some pictures with it, and I will... I might be displaying that on the wall of the studio, of the RX Muscle Studios, because I thought that was really nice of them to do that. And I was telling Chris that no one takes tips there. It's weird. No one tips in Europe.
No, in Europe they don't. But that didn't stop you from tipping people.
No, I
would have too. But what was really interesting about the waiters at that restaurant was Finns are very reserved and quiet, and they didn't know how to take you because you're just loud. You're from New York. You're loud. You're all over the place. But the waiters at the restaurant, they loved you. They thought you were the best thing ever because you know, you were.
They thought I was a character.
Yes, and you are.
Yeah, I guess I was. Well, you know what? It was funny because the Italian contingency was there. Cristiana Cassone and who else was there? What other Italians were there? There was a whole bunch of Italians in the show. Gieda Samari, who took fourth. And so all these, there was probably about five or six Italians. And one of the guys, I think who was dating one of the girls there, was actually from the same town that the waiter was from. My ancestors are from. It's Paternito or Paterno or something like that.
Right, and they were all very excited because the waiter came to get you to tell you about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
The waiter thought that I actually had been there before. I just knew the name because my dad had mentioned. I don't even know if my dad has been there before, but his father came from there, obviously, my grandfather.
Yeah, now you're going to have to make a pilgrimage back.
I have to make a pilgrimage back there. Hopefully, maybe they can hold a pro show there so we can kind of use it as a good excuse to kill two birds with one stone.
That would be nice.
And all during this process, Aaron Singerman was working effortlessly, I should say, and hard, down with Chris Aceto and John Hansen in Sarasota. Only hours before his wife, Darielle, gave birth. So
Aaron was a trooper this week. I'm very proud of him. And I am so excited that we have a baby. This is our first baby in the RX Muscle family, our new team member. I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud.
I told Chris the Asher Singerman's nickname is Slinky.
Yep, Slinky Singerman.
And I was telling him that Slinky Singerman sounds like an old Jewish mobster. Yeah, so
well, there are already people on the forums calling him Slinky.
That's
so
right.
You've already started something.
I'm going to have to make up some t-shirts or something like that. Have to send it down. I know I'm going to get, when Aaron calls in later, he's going to try to talk me into going to this Briss on the 18th.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look at prices. If the airfare is not crazy, I'm going to go. But it's a good excuse to see Aaron and Darielle. But I got to be honest with you. I'm a little traveled out.
I feel you. I am too. I think I'm just zoned out now, and I don't know what time it is. My body doesn't know what time it is. No matter how much sleep I get, I don't feel like I'm getting enough. No. So
here's the kicker: we left on Monday afternoon at 2:15, I believe, Finland time, Helsinki time, and we got back at 3:30 p.m.
Right,
the same day.
Right.
New York time. So
it was like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it was like 45 minutes past.
Right,
you know?
Right. Even though the flight was 8.5 hours.
That's right,
Yeah, so. It messes with your head. You don't really think, you think it's not going.
And, you know, it wasn't too bad. I got to tell you, the flight wasn't too bad. I went over with Chris some of the damage that they did to my suitcase and the fact that I smuggled agriculture in thanks to you slipping your sandwich
fault.
In my bag. And,
sorry about that.
But at least customs didn't arrest me like Victor, and I didn't spend any time in jail. That could all change when I go to India at the end of in the beginning of October. You never know. But the thing I wanted to ask you about, and you can give me the listeners a better idea, because it's hard for, you know, I have a lot of passion about what happened this past weekend, but
the competition was exciting.
And yes.
I don't know if it was just because in Finland, they don't do the pro show like they normally do. Instead of doing a pre-judging in the morning and then a night show at night, they did it all in one shot.
Right.
And I liked that a lot. It went fast. They didn't skip anything. They did the routines. They did the individual stuff. They did the mandatories. I liked it.
I liked it. I agree with you. I liked it a lot. It was one of the best shows I've been to as far as how it was run and the amount of time. They got it done in a short amount of time, but it didn't. It was almost perfect the way they timed it. And I was a little worried, too, with the call-outs. And then I realized that they weren't moving anyone around at all. So, you know, you were a little worried about that because the people that you thought weren't going to win were on the outside. And,
right. Well, I've been to the World Championships before in Spain. And in the World Championships, and they may do this in all European countries, but I know they had a time constraint, so they had to speed up a little bit. Usually every judge gets a first call-out. So if there's 11 judges, they'll do 11 first call-outs. Now, obviously, if they couldn't do that here, we would have been there all night.
I think they had a little time constraint on that. But what did they do, 4 call-outs?
They did some call-outs that you might be a little confused by if you're used to watching shows in the United States. But I thought the judging was excellent. You know, no one can complain. I know there's been shows before where people said, oh, the European shows get all screwed up. But they picked the right winners. I thought the placings were good. I thought Ronnie Raquel probably deserved third. I could have put him fourth, but, you know, I thought that they did a very fine job on the judging, and I know the judges worked real hard on it, and I went up and I shook all their hands because I thought that they did do a good job, and it was a good reflection on the IFBB in that respect.
I agree completely, and I also agree with placing. I probably would have had Ronnie Raquel in fourth place.
I just didn't like his conditioning, but we saw him a lot at breakfast. You know, it's funny because all the competitors were staying in the same hotel, which was called the Cumulus Hotel.
Right.
You know, like Cumulus Clouds. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a chain of hotels in Finland there. And the dining hall, I guess they gave free breakfast. And I guess with breakfast ran from what, 6 a.m. to like...
6 to 10, and then Sunday it was 6:30 to 11.
And you and I were getting up so early, we were going to breakfast twice.
The first morning, I fell asleep the first night at 4:30. I just couldn't take it anymore. I fell asleep at 4:30. I slept all the way until 5 o'clock in the morning. We both woke up about the same time. Yeah. And we actually had to wait an hour before we could eat.
Yeah.
Because it didn't open. And we went to breakfast so early at 6 that we went back to breakfasting at 9:30.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I figured we might as well get 2 free meals out of it, you know?
No, but it was a really nice breakfast, and it was a nice hotel. I did. I know the room was small, and it kind of felt like we were sharing a college dorm room, but I was impressed. I thought it was nice.
I ate a lot of bread, drank a lot of coffee, and drank a lot of wine this past weekend. So I'm back on my... I'm detoxing myself when you leave tomorrow.
That's all right. I think I'm going to go through the same experience when I get home, too.
My body's in a little shock. But I don't feel too bad. But I think all the walking we did was good. And look, you know what? I encourage people, if you want to go visit a good country, I like Finland a lot. I'm... Again, I said this to Chris a little earlier. People are asking me, are you happy to be back? And I'm like, almost... sad that I left. I could have seen myself staying there longer. So
yeah, you know, I always feel like we never get enough, no matter where we go. Yeah. We never get enough time to spend seeing things we want to see. We got to see a little more this weekend, but I agree with you. I want to go back and see more again.
And I think we will. I think KP Arama was very happy with the coverage we gave him, and we're still putting up video and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to do some good stuff with this country. I think that we're expanding into Europe now.
Yes,
RX Muscle has officially expanded into Europe, and
they're welcoming us with open arms. Too, which is nice.
I wish I was going to the Arnold in Madrid, but I think we might skip that one. But obviously, Pierre Lamley, our photographer, will be there shooting that for us. And there's a possibility that Aaron and I might be going to Prague at the end of October as well. So there's a lot of European competitions this year that there never was before. We got Finland, we got Prague, we got Madrid. And India is not in Europe, but we have a lot of overseas competitions coming up.
That's right. I'll let it count.
And now the Australians are contacting us about coming there next year for Australia. So we're going to be doing a lot of international travel.
Right, and maybe FIBO.
And I definitely hear FIBO Germany is a possibility of next year. So yeah.
And you know what? Nobody, you know, is on this side of the world, and the United States is really covering those shows thoroughly. So I think that we'd be bringing people something that, you know, they're not getting.
I think it's something different.
Yep.
So I'm sick of seeing the same people every single weekend every time we go, and this was nice because we got to see people we never see before.
You know, that was a really refreshing part of the weekend, wasn't it? We got to see new competitors. That's especially right. The figure competitors. I liked the harder look so much better. So
Yeah, it was a little different, but I thought that, you know, I always think that the judges have to judge what's available there, and I think that they did a good job in that sense. They did go with a slightly bigger, maybe harder look, but that's really what looked best. I mean,
yeah, I agree. I agree completely. I thought she looked fantastic, but I like, you know, we've been moving in the United States towards something a little bit softer, and it was refreshing to see something different,
well,
I guess.
Let's talk a little bit about the RX Muscle website for a minute before we let you go back to doing some work. Kurt James is now taking over the RX Muscle forums.
Yes.
He's taking your old job.
Yes.
Now that you're you have a lot more duties.
Yeah, and you know, it was a fantastic choice, too. It was a natural choice. You look around the forums, you know, who's been there the longest, who's been loyal, who's, you know, through thick and thin, through good and bad, Kurt James has always been there.
Do we give him a title? Does he have an official title?
Yeah, what's his official title? He's the managing director of the RX Muscle Forums. Oh, that's his title. Yeah, it's a pretty good title.
Very important title. I like that.
It's a good title.
Kurt sounds very... I have to get Kurt on the radio show one of these days and debrief
him. He's actually a very interesting guy, too. You know, he's an art teacher, so
he
deals with kids all the time, so he's, of course, a perfect match for the forums.
Yeah, I'm into creative people, so, I mean, that is a good match for us.
Yep.
And we'll be launching... I know we've been saying this for months and months and months, but I promise, before the Olympia, we will be launching the new video database on rxmuscle.com, which will be compatible with iPhone and iPad. If anyone hasn't noticed, also over the last several months, we have been virus free.
Yes.
We have a very elaborate, expensive security system in place.
Right, right. And we also just invested in a security certificate that will solve some of the, we've been having some URL issues where people they're showing unsecure on our pages, but it's not because our pages are unsecure. It's because we have a, admin login and the front end of the site, and
it's
somehow
being mixed
up.
It's because we have an Aaron Singerman on the site.
Yeah, Aaron Singerman's been spreading the unsecure URL. Yeah. So we got a security certificate to fix that, and that's taken care of. So they're really we're moving forward.
Yeah, but I think this video database is going to really revolutionize a lot of what we're doing. We have a lot of great content that's going to be going up. So just when you think we're laying back and we're resting on our laurels, we are rediscovering ourselves, reinventing ourselves, and doing bigger and better things. Obviously, RX Girl is still growing by leaps and bounds, thanks to Gail Auerbach over there, and Christina Voynich and Diana Dahlgren are doing a great job at the Muscle Girls Inc. radio show. We're launching our new RX Power Hour show.
Yes, I believe the show should be up this week.
Yeah, with Brian Hildebrand.
And Mike Johnson from American Strongman Corporation.
That's right. So they're going to be bringing some new talent to the table, and I think we're going to get some new exciting stuff going on. We have Bros vs. Pros coming up October 20th in Phoenix, Arizona, with $3,000 in prizes and some supplement packages up for grabs. Derek Farnsworth will be representing the IFBB Pros
there.
And
it's going to be the squat and the deadlift.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be 315 in both of those events, which I think a lot of guys can do better, can do more reps. A lot of times 415 is a little too heavy for some of these guys. I think Derek's going to have a run. He's been given for a run for his money. I hear Mark Lurch has already booked his ticket.
Derek's going to be looking forward to that. From what I understand, Derek is going to be doing some videos leading up to the event to show everybody what he can do. So that should be interesting.
Well, we got that coming up. And then at the end of the year, we will have our final Bros vs. Pros event at Diamond Gym in New Jersey that will be dedicated to the memory of John Kemper, who used to own that gym. And
actually, I believe we have another one lined up at the beginning of 2013 at a very famous strongman's gym on the East Coast.
Oh, we do. Okay,
yes,
we're not allowed to announce that.
Well, we can. I think we can talk about it, but he definitely keeps calling Brian to make sure that we're still interested in coming. So maybe I can say it.
Well, you know who else we have also who in the beginning of the year, Mary Ellen Jarumbo. It went out to El Paso, Texas.
El Paso?
Where her backstreet gym there is some crazy gym she's got going on, and very hardcore, and she's going to host one of the events. So we have a lot of good stuff coming up.
Bros vs. Pros is really picking up steam. Everybody likes it. I like it, too. It's fun to see these guys move that weight, you know, and it's not just strength, and it's not just conditioning, so pretty much anybody...
I would like to hold one out in Finland next year.
Yeah, and
possible.
I think that people there are actually interested, too. We were approached about that while we were there.
Yeah, we'd have to find a pro to do it, to represent there, but that might not be too hard. I know they got a lot of strongmen up there. We could probably find a professional strongman. You know what? I almost forgot. Jonas Rutenkin.
Yes.
1,221-pound squat. He was going to try for 13:20, I believe, or something like that, and he didn't go for it because he wasn't feeling that great. But still, I mean, 1,221 pound squat is outrageous. I mean, when you're watching these guys do it, I'm just waiting for the legs to snap. I know, because the weight is incredible.
We have video of that, too. And what I think is most amazing about that is you watch how many spotters it takes to load that bar, or, you know, to unload that bar for that guy. Did you see that? There were three big guys on each side of that bar having to unload the weight. It's just amazing. But, you know.
You know, when you think about squatting, you just like, and I can understand pulling that kind of weight off the floor for the deadlift, and no one can even do that much on the deadlift. I think, what is it, 1,200 is the record for deadlift?
Right.
I mean, these guys are squatting more than they deadlift. It's almost unfathomable because the amount of stress on your back and on your knees and, I mean, the positioning, you move 1 millimeter the wrong way and you're dead, basically. It's not even like, you're not even going to fall. You're not dumping that weight. You're going down with the weight.
Right, right. And, you know, I was a little skeptical. I'd seen some videos before we left about and these guys squatting, and I wasn't seeing the parallel. And so when I got here, when I got to Finland, I was a little concerned. But I watched these guys squat, and the judges were strict. I mean, some of these guys didn't quite make it, and, you know, they got the red light. Yeah. And so he earned his 12:21 that he got.
He earned his stripes, for certain, that is. And that was an exciting part of the weekend, too. And then they had the strongman event. And KP really had that whole weekend action-packed nonstop. And that place, you know, we went to dinner, came back for the night show, and there were still people in the expo going in. So, you know, I mentioned this to Chris a little earlier. This was like the Mr. Olympia contest for these Finland. People in Finland.
It is. They haven't. When's the last time they had a competition there in Finland?
I don't know. It's been a long time.
It's been years, right? And so to them it was. And you could actually feel the pride of those people when their own competitors stepped on stage for a competition. It was amazing. You could actually feel it.
I felt like it was in the Olympics a little bit. Yeah. And they had, you know, people don't realize when the Olympics were held in Helsinki, I guess the Winter Olympics, they did the ski jump in Lahti. So
we thought that. Remember, we were wondering.
I found that out. That's what the ski jump is there for. So a lot of good shit happening this past weekend. RX Muscle officially was doing some good work in another country. We will be back to another country at the beginning of October, where Aaron Jabaka-Singerman and I will be going to cover the Shuru Classic. And possibly we will be in Prague at the end of the year. We will be at the Masters Mr. Olympia. That is in the first week in December in Miami Beach. And maybe Aaron will bring a little Asher Singerman down there for his first bodybuilding show. It is a possibility.
Slinky Singerman.
That's true. But all in all, it was a great show this week. And Sally, I can't thank you enough for coming out here and being tireless and effortless in your efforts to help us get the content up first and do the best content that we can think of.
My pleasure. It was fun, as usual.
I'd like to thank all our guests tonight. The only one who is really worthy of mentioning is the one and only Sally Ann Taylor. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RXMuscle.com. The truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.